What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Circa College Hoops Challenge. 10 expert handicappers competing for the chance to call themselves the Circa College Hoops Challenge champion. Here is your host, Matt Humans.
Wes Reynolds alongside here. This is the Circa College Hoops Challenge Hour. We have 2 weeks remaining in this contest, 8 plays to go. And David Dineen, former Cal Poly hoops player, handicapper from Reno, on top of the standings at 20-12 against the spread. Take a quick look at the standings. Bobby Buckets Brubeck, professional bettor out of Austin, Texas, in second, 3 games back at 17-15. And Greg Hoops Peterson in third, 3.5 games back of Dineen, 16-15-1 against the spread. You can see the standings there, or you can follow this contest at vsin.com/challenge. 4th through 10th, Will Hill, Jim Root, Aaron Moore, Tim Murray, Chris Massaro, Ken Thompson, and Adam Burke. This contest presented by Brooklyn's Best Pizza and Pasta with a location downtown Las Vegas. So let's go out to the Progressive guest line and dial up Greg Hoops Peterson. The birthday boy joins us now, the host of Greg Peterson Experience. And Greg, happy birthday number 31 to you. What'd you do? Where'd you go for your birthday dinner?
Well, I have not had dinner yet. I got back from my show and I've been recording my baseball podcast, which starts back up at midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern. The baseball betting show with Greg Peterson. Wouldn't have my birthday any other way than taking a look at some college basketball and some baseball.
All right, so you do the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. How'd you come up with the creative name of the baseball betting show?
Oh, I mean, it was just so hard. I was thinking, you know what? I've got a baseball show. My name is Greg Peterson. Let's take inspiration from the college football playoff, who decided to call themselves the college football playoff, and just run with something that it's really, really hard to scoop up. So, baseball, Greg Peterson.
All right, Greg Hoops Peterson, the tireless worker, is not taking a break from the podcast. You can hear his baseball podcast on the VSiN network every night during the season. This guy does not take a night off. At GUnit_81. All right, Greg, you got to make up some ground on David Dineen here in the contest. You are 3.5 games back. You got a shot here. All right, let's start with your first play. Iowa State, Illinois, you're opposite Dineen on this play. And you're laying the 1.5 with the Cyclones, and you're going with the better defensive team, far better defensive team.
Yep, absolutely. And the one fear that I do have with Iowa State, they are going to be all gone down the glass. Illinois, top 15 team in the country with regards to rebound rate. I just have a belief, though, that Iowa State is going to be able to force the turnovers to allow them to win this game. And when you take a look at the strength on strength, Iowa State, far better defense. Illinois, far better offense. You then look to, all right, Illinois, they've got a rough defense. Iowa State, they've got not such a great offense. Which one is better? And the Iowa State offense is what's better in this one. They're a top 50 team in terms of points scored on a per possession basis. They've got a guy like a Milosevic, who's able to shoot it well from three. Kevon Lipsky, Kashawn Gilbert, They're going to put the ball in the bucket. They combine for about 26 half points per game. And Illinois, away from home, outside the top 250 in terms of both points allowed on a per possession basis and opponent 3-point shooting percentage. I do think that in the end, the Iowa State offense being better than that of the Illinois defense, that's going to be what is really the difference maker in a strength-on-strength battle. So what was Iowa State in this spot?
Greg, let's go to what is the biggest favorite on the board tomorrow night, and that is the University of Connecticut, now up to 11 out there in most places. 136 on the total, sit open 9.5. A lot of people loving UConn here, but you're going to go Oppo Taco and go with the Aztecs.
Yep, we saw San Diego State for the first, I would say, 32, 33 minutes in that national title game last year actually hang with this team, and they actually bring back quite a bit from last year. They're going to need Darion Trammell to be able to step it up a little bit more, along with Lamont Butler, but this is a San Diego State team that does a solid job of not beating themselves. They commit about the same amount of turnovers per possession as UConn does, and I think that Jaden Ledee, he's not going to win that battle down low with Donovan Clayton. That would be a big ask, but at the same time, he's got a little bit of a different skill set. He's got a nice game that's able to give you 21 points, 8 boards per contest. San Diego State as well, one of the best 3-point shooting defenses in all of college basketball, a top 25 team in the country with that regard. That's been going up against a UConn team that is number one in the country in terms of points scored on a per possession basis. But this UConn team does have a little bit of kryptonite with giving it up from the outside as well. I think that San Diego State holds in there enough on the boards to be able to hang within single digits. And I think the big key for San Diego State, just really getting a tempo that is slow, grimy, fewer possessions equals better for San Diego State, and they're one of the masters at being able to really make a game yucky and slow. We saw that last year when they actually took out the number one overall seed 8 seasons ago in Alabama. I don't think that they caught the upset here outright, but I think that they can hang within single digits, so just the 11.
Greg, is there any chance you could talk a little faster, because we need to be able to squeeze in all the analysis in this segment? What do you think?
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
Wes, go ahead with the next game.
All right, let's go Alabama, North Carolina. That will be out at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles tomorrow. North Carolina laying 4.5, total 173.5. A lot of the movement's been on the Tar Heels, and you agree with that, Greg?
Absolutely. I think that it's all about hitting the glass. And when you've got Armando Bacot along with Harrison Ingram giving you combined 19-plus rebounds per game, that's big against an Alabama team that you've got Grant Nelson, who's a relatively solid big man, but at the same time, he only gives you about 5.5, 6 boards per contest. And Alabama is a team that loves to shoot it from three, one of the top teams in terms of percentage of shots that come from 3-point range. North Carolina, away from home, they allow opponents to shoot just 29.9% from 3-point range. Top 20 mark in all of college basketball. North Carolina, the far better defense in this one. They got a guy in R.J. Davis who's able to match up with the top scorer in Mark Sears on the flip side for Alabama. I think that North Carolina are going to be able to guard the arc very well. That allowed them to win and cover this game.
Greg Hoops Peterson with us, also known as the Auctioneer. Let's get to Clemson, Arizona. You're going to play a total here on Thursday night in L.A., and you're going to play Clemson, Arizona over 152, Greg.
Yep, you've got one of the most up-tempo teams in all of college basketball in Arizona. Not only is Arizona up-tempo, they're really good with regards to the rebound. You give them second and third chances. Umar Bala give you 10-plus rebounds per game. It's a Clemson team that has looked a little bit better with their defense, but I do think that that's a little bit of fool's gold going up against a New Mexico team that just gave you a really poor effort in general and a Baylor team that was ice cold from 3-point. You've got three separate guys for this Arizona team that are able to go all 3.2-plus assists per contest. While it's a Clemson team that they themselves have a good 3-point shooter in Joe Girard. They do a nice job not turning the ball over. Top 35 team in terms of points scored on a per possession basis, going up against an Arizona team that has a lot of opponents to shoot nearly 34% from 3-point range away from home. We've seen Arizona give up already 100 points to Stanford. I don't think they're going to give up 100 or anything like that, but it certainly is a defense that leaves something to be desired. Both of these teams do, and I think both teams get past 75, so I do like the over in this spot.
Gonzaga against Purdue in Detroit. That is the first game on Friday night in the Midwest Regional Sweet 16. Purdue up to about 5.5-point favorites. It was 5.5 in the contest here. And, Greg, you're going to take the points with Gonzaga.
Yep, I am. I think that it's going to be a rough matchup against Zahidi, but you've got two guys to be able to match up with them. Both Graham Ike along with Anton Watson, who combined for about 15 rebounds per game. And for Gonzaga, it was a rough start to the season for them, but I feel like they really got their season online when they went to Rupp Arena, They took down Kentucky outright in that game, and typically with Gonzaga, they're not used to having that competition towards the back half of the season like they were able to get going up against Kentucky. That is really, in my opinion, fueled them. They're used to seeing a program of good competition. Now, it's not quite Purdue what they were going up against when they went up against Kentucky, but at the same time, this is a team that's back in the top five in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis, and their defense significantly better than it was a season ago against a Purdue team that is allowing more points per possession than they did a season ago. And I still have that question mark with Braden Smith. Is he fully healed from the injury that he suffered in the Big Ten tournament? It's a Purdue team that shoots it well from 3-point range, but I think Gonzaga is going to be able to match it, and I think that they keep this within a possession or two. So, disappointing.
Host of the Greg Peterson Experience, Hoops with us, the birthday boy, birthday number 31 tonight for Greg Peterson. All right, Greg, your sixth play in the contest. I'm going to recap what you've got here. Iowa State minus 1.5, San Diego State plus 11, North Carolina minus 4.5, Clemson, Arizona over 152, Gonzaga plus 5.5, and Marquette minus 6.5. You're 16-15-1, and you're going to lay the points with Marquette against NC State.
Yep, I take a look at this number, and if they were to have made it like 2.5, 3 weeks ago, Marquette, in my opinion, would probably be about a 9-point favorite. With Marquette, they do a supreme job of being a fourth journalist, top 20 team in all of college basketball that I've heard. And I think they've got the best point guard in the nation, Tyler Cole. He's right now leading the country in terms of assists per game, does a nice job popping it from 3-point range. The one kryptonite that you do have with this Marquette team is on glass. They're outside the top 250 in terms of rebound rate. And while everyone loves C.J. Burns and what he's been able to do, for NC State, they're outside the top 200 with regards to their rebound rate as well. They allowed a lot of wide open threes. Cam Jones, when Tyler Collins was on the fold, he was able to find much more of his offense, much more of his rhythm. That's allowed Marquette to be even more efficient on the offensive side of things. I think that Marquette just simply outclasses an NC State team that just had a tough time on the defensive side of things in general.
Greg, it's interesting you took San Diego State plus 11. Do you think UConn's going to squeak that game out? What do you think the margin of victory is going to be for the Huskies there?
I think that it's going to be closer to right around about 8 or 9. I was willing to take anything of double figures with San Diego State. I made my official handicap 9.5. I think that this is more of an 8 to 9 point game.
All right, they actually opened 9.5. So Greg Hoops Peterson, third place in the contest going into the final 2 weeks. You can see his plays right there. Iowa State, San Diego State, North Carolina, Gonzaga, Marquette, and he's also playing the Clemson, Arizona over the total. Greg, happy birthday, man, and celebrate by doing a baseball podcast, okay?
Will do. I'll be going back to that right when I get off of this call. Always appreciate it, gentlemen.
All right, thanks, Greg. Again, follow the contest at vsin.com challenge. You can see the plays in the standings, and all the plays are going out on the vsin pro email overnight. That was Greg Hoops Peterson on the Progressive guest line. It sounds like Greg's fired up about the baseball.
Yeah, very fired up. Yeah, look up the name before you go to break. Look up the name John Machetta Jr. And very comparable to what we just heard from Greg Peterson.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.
This is the Circa College Hoops Challenge. Here is your host, Matt Humans.
Welcome back. VSiN tonight presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, and Wes Reynolds, my co-host. And Wes, what was that reference you made right before?
Yeah, I know it was a very obscure one. The gentleman's name is John Machida Jr. That is his real life, his government name, as they would say, but also known as the fast-talking guy. If you remember the 1980s toy line called the Micro Machines, the Micro Machine Man.
You just played a video clip for me, though, during the break, and I got to say it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, very fast talking, as we heard in the last segment, man. I don't have – maybe he must have had a couple five-hour energies. I don't have that energy, man. I'll be the slow talker.
Greg Hoops Peterson's got boundless enthusiasm, and he's about to tape a baseball podcast, which he's going to do every night.
He has boundless enthusiasm because he's not old and jaded and bitter like me.
He's 31 years old, the birthday boy, Greg Hoops Peterson. Again, if you missed his plays, Iowa State -1.5. He's going head-to-head with Russ Reynolds on that one. San Diego State +11. He's going heads up with me on that one. North Carolina -4.5. We agree. Clemson, Arizona over 152. Gonzaga +5.5. I'm with him there. And Marquette -6.5. Is Hoops opposite you on a play or two?
I think the in the contest I don't believe that he is, actually, but in terms of, well, except for Purdue, but in terms of sides I like, I tend to lead the Illinois side. San Diego State, I'm not laying UConn, but I think a way to play, I want to play against San Diego State in a different way, and I think the team total under 62.5 probably the better one to do that.
I agree with that. All right, so let's get back to the Circuit College Hoops Challenge. And again, look at the standings because David Dineen is on top, 20-12 against the spread. We're going to look at his plays. And you see that photo on
David Dineen waving to all his fans, man, that have been waiting for his picks because he's obviously the leader of the pack right now.
Well, I asked him for an explanation of why that photo shows him waving to the fans like he's being honored, you know, like you said, being inducted into the Cal Poly Hall of Fame or his jersey's being retired. He said he was waving at a Cal Poly game. They were honoring the 1994-95 team that he said, quote, accomplished nothing, but was the school's first Division I team. It was the school's first D1 team.
Man, no, but that's important, though. You know, like some schools, man, even some schools with tradition, Indiana, that don't even honor, like, conference championship teams. There, you know, and then you have some schools, man, every team, if you won like five games in a row, man, they get the banquet for you.
All right, let's take a look at David Dineen's plays. He's the leader in the contest, 3-game lead with 2 weeks to go, 8 plays to go. It's going to be tough to blow it. Dineen's got one hand on the trophy. He's got a firm grip on that trophy, Wes. Will Hill is our defending champ. Dineen on Illinois +1.5. North Carolina -4.5. Gonzaga +5.5, Tennessee -3, NC State Marquette over 151, and Duke +4. Dineen 20-12 against the spread. Again, you can follow this contest at vsin.com/challenge.
You're right, that 94-95 Cal Poly team, they were in the what was known as the American West Conference. That was their transition year. That was their first year of Division I.
we have stats for David Dineen, or what was Cal Poly's record?
I hate to say it, but I did bring it up. 1-26.
1-26
is what I am seeing. David Dineen, though, by the way, second leading scorer on that team, average 8.6 in a game.
I know he had a couple big double-digit scoring games that you were talking about. 1-26. Who did Cal Poly beat for the one win?
I'm trying to find the schedule. Actually, I don't even know if it has a complete schedule here. So,
California Bible College.
Stand by. I actually do have it. They beat Menlo.
Oh. Okay.
They beat Menlo, Menlo College. They started out 0-13 and then beat Menlo and then ended up 1-26, lost in the conference tournament in the America West Conference to Southern Utah, which I believe the America West Conference only had like five teams. They had a Northridge, Southern Utah, Sacramento State, and I believe Cal Poly before they eventually went to the Big West.
All right, a little Cal Poly hoops history there with David Dineen, our contest leader. Bobby Buckets Brubeck, I think he might be a graduate of Cal Poly, too. Is it possible the top two in the standings in this contest are both Cal Poly guys?
San Luis Obispo, stand up.
Professional sports bettor. He lives in Austin, Texas. Now he is from Southern California at Brew Buckets. Bobby Buckets, 17-15, three games back. There's a problem for Buckets going into the final 2 weeks. If he wants to catch David Dineen, Wes, they have three common plays out of the six this week. It might be four. Let me double check. All right, so here, Bobby Buckets plays. Illinois plus 1.5. That's a common play with David Dineen. How about North Carolina minus 4.5? Another common play. Clemson plus 7.5. Gonzaga plus 5.5. That's a common play. North Carolina State plus 6.5. And the sixth and final play for Bobby Buckets Brubeck this week, Duke plus 4.
Yeah, 4 of the 6.
That is 4 common plays out of the 6. So the most Buckets could gain if everything went right for him and wrong for Dineen would be 2 games. You would say that's a good thing for Dineen, who wants to win this contest.
Yes.
He's got 4 common plays with the second place.
Playing defense, man. I like it.
He was playing defense. So he didn't know what Bobby Buckets
The offense was going to be running, but
they had no knowledge of what the other was playing this week. All right, let's get to our defending champ, Will Hill. He's my co-host on Friday nights, VSiN contributor, the 2023 Circuit College Hoops Challenge champ, and the top performer in week 5, the first week of the NCAA tournament. He went 9-3 against the spread. Bobby Buckets went 8-4, by the way, and David Dineen went 6-6. Will Hill off that 9-3 week. Connecticut minus 11. How about Alabama, North Carolina under 173.5? He's actually going under, Wes, and I would think most bettors are thinking over.
Yeah, I think Kenny Thompson also on the under for that game.
That's true. Clemson plus 7.5. Gonzaga plus 5.5. NC State Marquette over 151.
That's been a common play.
The over in the NC State Marquette game, no doubt about it. And the last play for Will Hill this week, go ahead and flash it up on the screen because I don't have it here. That's Duke-Houston under 134. So the under in the Duke-Houston game. I can't tell you that. I've got the list of common plays this week. Wes, the consensus plays have not done so well in this contest.
Am I on any of them?
But last week, the consensus play was a winner. That was UAB plus 7.5.
Oh, I was on that one, so I can't take responsibility for that losing.
The consensus plays this week, the most common selected sides, Gonzaga plus 5.5 against Purdue, Duke plus 4.5 against Houston, and North Carolina minus 4.5 against Alabama. The second most consensus, Connecticut minus 11, Clemson plus 7.5, and guess what? I happen to be on all 5 of those.
I was going to say, I was trying to look and see what your plays were, if you were on any of those.
I happen to be on all 5. Yeah. Then you get further down the list. We're 4 selections apiece on Marquette, minus 6.5. Alabama, North Carolina, under. Illinois, plus 1.5. I don't have any of those. Houston, minus 4. NC State, Marquette, over. And Tennessee, minus 3.
I was going to say, what's the least used? Do we have that?
No, we just have the top selections in week 6 picked by 3 or more contestants. Mm-hmm. You can find all this at vsin.com/challenge. lot of info up there on the contest if you want to follow or fade. You have that option too if you don't like what you hear or see. Let's get to Jim Root, professional handicapper out of Chicago at Second Chance Points. He's part of the three-man weave group in the field of 68. Jim in studio with us tonight in the second hour. And he's going to stick in Big Ten country with Illinois plus 1.5 against Iowa State. Connecticut minus 11. North Carolina minus 4.5. Those are two of the consensus plays, I believe, right?
Yes.
NC State Marquette over 151. Marquette minus 6.5. And Houston minus 4 against Duke. That feels like a split opinion game where you have half the handicappers on Duke, half on Houston.
Yeah, that's right? Definitely the most split opinion game that we have.
Jim Root. Again, on Illinois plus 1.5. And Wes, you played the total in that game. I know you have a future on Illinois at 60-1 that's worth a lot of money. Have you decided?
Well, 30-1.
30-1. It's worth $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
$2,000 ticket from the Derek and Mike.
Yeah.
Bracket Buster Invitational here at Circa. Have you decided how you're going to play that?
I'm down to a couple options, basically. Do I just go ahead and play the Iowa State money line, or do I go ahead and maybe take less of a return and just lay Illinois on the no price for the region, knowing that they have to, obviously, they're looking at going against Connecticut. I mean, but then if San Diego State pulls the upset, that puts that to bed. But that's probably the safer way to do it, but it's less of a chance to make it, like, really decent money.
Well, you better decide pretty soon because that game is Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to act on this Thursday afternoon?
Yes.
Yep. Fair options. Whatever, you're going to come out pretty well ahead on this ticket.
Yes.
Can't screw this up. Like some of us who didn't hedge with big tickets in the first round. We'll be back with more on the Circuit College Hoops Challenge. Aaron Moore is going to be in studio.
This is the Circa College Hoops Challenge. Here is your host, Matt Humans.
All right, welcome back. This is the Circuit College Hoops Challenge Show. Sign up on a VSIN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199, down from the typical price of $240. Use promo code TONIGHT. Give VSIN Pro access to everything we do for a year. Daily best bets. You get all the selections from the Circuit College Hoops Challenge on the VSIN Pro email. All the contest selections. If you're a pro subscriber, you get them first. Betting splits shows you where the money and the bets moving for all the games updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. 24/7 video access on vsin.com. All the live shows and replays accessible on our website. Use promo code TONIGHT. VSIN Pro access only $199. vsin.com/subscribe. You also get unlimited access to Aaron Moore, the professor, who's in studio with us now. If you're a VSIN Pro subscriber or viewer, professor, welcome in. Tonight, this is the Circuit College Hoops Challenge Show. You just flew in from the East Coast. You're going to spend the week in Vegas.
It's a great time to be here, Matt. Thanks for having me. Wes, thanks for having me as well. To come out here during Sweet 16, March Madness, it really is the best time to come to Las Vegas. And just even at this time at Circa, there's still a vibe that people are looking, thinking about college basketball. So if you want to think, talk, bet college basketball, there really is no better place, no better time.
All right, we're going to get your six plays here in the contest, 14 and 18. And obviously, as a whole, we're not performing like we hope to in this contest, but we're not done yet. Eight games left. And Wes, he's going to play a game here that you and I have kind of been waffling on, at least in terms of the side this week, a Big Ten, Big 12 matchup.
Yeah, and that's Illinois and Iowa State. Look, I think it's the best schematic matchup of any of the Sweet 16 because you've got the Illinois number one offense, Iowa State number one or number two, depending on what metric you look at in terms of defense. But Aaron, I'm kind of leaning to your side. I haven't bet it because I already got a financial interest in this team from a future standpoint. But you like the we'll call them the flying Illini and not the fighting Illini because they are flying up and down the floor.
I think, Wes, just from the tournament standpoint, Illinois versus Iowa State, best game so far. Just from a basketball standpoint, I'm taking Illinois here with 1.5, and I'm correlating it with the over. I think if you do want to bet Illinois, then you're probably going to look at that over. I got that at 146. And one of the main things of looking at it is it Iowa State's defense versus Illinois' offense? And one of the key things that I look at taking Illinois here, they have not gone lower than 73 points since January 30th. They score. I'm looking also on a side note, I'm playing their 72.5 over team total tomorrow as well. That Iowa State plays great defense. And if they're going to play great defense on Shannon, well, then there's Coleman Hawkins. And if they play good defense on Hawkins, then Demance can score. So I think it's just the options Illinois has on offense. And the other part of it, too, going to the over, is Iowa State plays slow on defense. They grind their opponents. Illinois is not going to be grinded down on defense. So I think if you like Illinois, you got to like the over here.
One of the things, too, about Illinois is that they're not three-dependent necessarily. If you look, they made 12 against Morehead State, but they only made 7 against Duquesne. I know step up in class here, but this is a team that could score in so many different ways, and it's very Villanova-like, and it's no coincidence that Brad Underwood obviously consulted with Jay Wright, and Jay Wright gave him this advice to go 4-1-in, and it's worked like a charm.
You mentioned the Duquesne game. Doesn't seem like a big game in this handicap, but it is. Illinois won that game 89-63. Duquesne wants to play slow. They want to play ugly. They want to play physical. Now, I'm not saying Duquesne and Iowa State are in the same class, but still, Illinois scored close to 90 points against a team that wants to do what Iowa State tries to do.
Now, by the way, Illinois scored 93 points against Wisconsin in the Big Ten Tournament Championship game, only hit 7 threes in that game. So, Aaron Moore, your first two plays here in the contest, Illinois plus 1.5, Illinois, Iowa State over 146. I call you the professor, sports media professor at Rider University. And David Dineen, who's a contest leader, asked me today, where did Aaron Moore go to school? We've talked about this before. He wants to know if you're a PhD, you got a PhD.
I do have a PhD, yes. I went undergrad, LaSalle University in Philadelphia, and then I got my PhD at Temple University. So my schooling with a little time at Loyola Marymount in between.
All right, for those who don't know, Aaron Moore was the backup shooting guard to Lionel Simmons when he played at LaSalle, right?
Yeah, Doug Overton passed me the ball.
Yes.
Just a couple times.
Speedy Morris coaching the team.
All right, back with more plays here in the contest. Aaron Moore, San Diego State, UConn. And we've been talking about the San Diego State team total under. You're actually going to play this game over 135.
I'm going to take a different angle with this handicap, Matt. And I'm going to look at it when we talk about what coaches say in the media. How do we use that in our handicap? Well, Danny Hurley is pretty upset what the committee did to his team. They put a number of good teams in the East bracket. They also made his times a little bit off for the game times. Danny Hurley's upset. And I think this is the opportunity for UConn to really put on a show. So the way I'm taking the over here is it's a lot of points, and San Diego State can certainly keep it close. But I want this to be the game where Danny Hurley shows everybody in the committee that they made a mistake putting all these teams in the East bracket. I think it's really a statement game, and the statement game is going to be scoring in the mid to high 70s, and I think San Diego State can get into the 60s as well.
He certainly knows how to find or at least manufacture motivation. That clip that we ran last night where he's talking with Tracy Wolfson, Matt, about how disappointed he was. He goes, that's not up to standard. I think it was the Stetson game where they up like 30.
52-19 at halftime. He was unhappy with the last 2 minutes.
But that's what you got to be, man. Yeah. The great ones are never satisfied, and that's why Danny Hurley's already won a national title. Another guy that came close to winning a national title, but it settled for runner-up a couple years ago, was Hubert Davis. And they are taking on the North Carolina Tar Heels against Alabama. 173.5, another high total for Alabama. They soared over it in the first round. Second round went way under. And you're thinking they're going under again.
A number of different angles here, Wes, I'm looking at. First off, UNC has a top 10 defense. And I think we talk about all of the offensive characteristics of this team. And certainly when we talk about Alabama, we're talking about offense and scoring. But this is a team that can play defense. And I think the best way, obviously, to beat Alabama is slow it down, limit possessions. North Carolina is at their best when they play inside out with Baycott. Baycott now as a tournament is starting to get a few games here. They're going to want him to play at an optimal level. So I think they slow it down a little bit. They play a little bit longer of a half-court possession. In Alabama, I don't want to say They're probably the most sketchy team this far, but how have they gotten this far? They've scored offense. They've been able to outscore opponents, but now they're going against UNC. And we talk about all these characteristics from KenPom in a handicapping standpoint. UNC, top 20 offense, top 20 defense. I think their defense is overlooked, and I think the spread came out high because the first thought is Alabama scores, North Carolina scores. Well, I think I'm going to take this a little bit different and focus on the North Carolina defense.
At Pub Relation Prof on Twitter. All right, ACC theme here. Clemson plus 7.5. Your next play, taking the points with the Tigers against Arizona.
And let's look at this from another holistic standpoint of the tournament. Clemson, I think, has the two best wins of the tournament. They have New Mexico. They beat New Mexico. They beat Baylor. So Clemson kind of came in as a team not a lot of people were talking about. There was some uncertainty, high and low of this season. They've played very well this tournament. If I can get this team at 7.5 points going against Arizona, we know Joe Girard can score from the outside. And certainly PJ Hall gives a big body, a little bit physical. Can he beat up Balo a little bit? So I took this, Matt, I took that 7.5 because I think it's Arizona is going to get the public attention. Arizona is what bettors are going to look for. And I think this is a value play. Clemson getting 7.5 points, it's more of a value play. I don't think Clemson's going to pull off a victory here, but they can keep it close because what they've showed me the first two rounds is this team is legitimate. And about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about whether or not they even deserve to be in the tournament, and they certainly have. So I think they can keep it going and keep it within that 7.5 points.
Yeah, one of the things we talk about is that offensive and defensive efficiency ranking, and there's like 8 teams that qualify still that could be a national champion. One of them is Duke. 5 offensively, 20th defensively. They are 6 in the KenPom. They are taking on number 2 in the KenPom. Duke getting 4 against the Houston Cougars, and I like your side here.
Wes, I think this is interesting. Duke might be the most underrated team in the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
We are not talking about Duke. They have the offense. Now with Filipowski and Mitchell and Proctor, they're not freshmen anymore. There's a little bit more experience. And I like Duke, and one of the main aspects of this game is we know what happened with Houston, Texas A&M last week. Houston has played 2 overtime games prior this season. The following game, they did not cover. And I think there is an interesting aspect right there because they play that physical style. You give them more than a few minutes overtime, I don't think they're going to be the same team.
I'm with you there. Clemson plus 7.5, Duke plus 4. Those are 2 plays on my card this week. So hopefully you win those, Aaron. Good luck.
I hope you win them as well.
The professor, Aaron Moore, in studio tonight. Part of the Circa College Hoops Challenge in town all weekend if you want to stop by and get autographs and photos. Quick break here, back with a wrap up the contest on VSiN tonight.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.
This is the Circa College Hoops Challenge. Here is your host, Matt Humans.
Wes, when's best time to have skin in the game, now or next week?
All the time, Matt.
Well, there's never been a better time than now to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because we have a VSiN exclusive offer for DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use code TONIGHT when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. All right, we didn't talk a lot about baseball on tonight's show. On some previous Friday nights, Will Hill and I talked baseball and talked a little bit about win totals. Wes, there are three win totals I liked under this season. The Yankees under, and these numbers have dropped a little. The Yankees were under 92.5 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the Mets under. That total was around 81, 80.5. And also the Boston Red Sox. Steve Fezzik was talking this one up. Red Sox under 78. I think 77.5 might be the best win total play you can get on the Red Sox. But New York and Boston under the win totals this season. Did you play any MLB win totals?
I did not, actually, and I did pretty solid on them last year. It just kind of caught up with me, so I'll try to maybe, you know, you could still play these in play. They're gonna be up obviously throughout the season. So, you know, just got behind on some certain things. But the Yankees, by the way, of course, in action tomorrow down in Houston. So George, they lied. No Yankee will ever come to Houston, like they said on Seinfeld. But Yankees down there. Nasty Nestor, the opening day starter for the New York Yankees. Did you play anything on that game?
I did not. But I would not bet the Yankees. Actually, I was talking with a fan of our show outside the studio during the break, Stan the Man from Anaheim Hills, California.
Stan the Man?
Yep.
We were talking Stan the about Caddy. He's the man.
Ohtani and the Dodgers. Just talking a little baseball during the break. He was hanging out here in the Circus Sportsbook tonight. On Twitter, the Gov, Chris Meth, says, Wes Reynolds, name your top three 80s hard rock bands. His are Motley Crue, Queensryche, and Whitesnake. How about you?
Whitesnake was in my my top three, because I referenced it, because I love these random accounts on X, though. I think it was Retro News Now. It was like 40 years ago that the Rat, you know the band Rat, of course. Round and round.
I remember a album they had, Out of the Cellar.
Out of the Cellar with the late Tawny Catane was the pinup, who was actually dating the bass player of Rat at the time, Robin Crosby. And I just saw that out there and, you know, retweeted that. And then the Gov asked me my hair bands. I don't know if I could call Guns N' Roses, because they're from the era, even though they're not really a hair band. I'd say GNR, number one. I have Whitesnake in there, and I also have Rat, because I said I thought Rat was an underrated hair band from the 1980s. Honorable mention, though, Quiet Riot, and that's solely because my late father and I were once in the Indy Airport flying out to Washington, D.C., and he saw a couple of the Quiet Riot roadies, and then was like, are they a band or something? And he saw, like, their logo, and he yells out to the lead singer and goes, hey, bang your head, dude. Because you remember the song, Bang Your Head.
I sure do remember that.
And the singer, that Kevin Dubrow, is the lead singer. Rock on, man!
You remember the lead singer of Guns N' Roses?
I do. W. Axl Rose from Lafayette, Indiana.
I used to play pickup basketball games with Axl Rose and his bodyguards in West Lafayette, Indiana back in the 90s.
Nice.
All right, how about we get back to the Circuit College Hoops Challenge. We're going to do a rundown of our picks at the end. We still have to talk about Chris Massaro and Ken Thompson, who appeared on the show tonight, but not here in the final hour, so we want to run down the picks for those two contestants. I'll give you Chris Massaro's picks first. Illinois, Iowa State over the total of 146. And Wes, you're on the same page here, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Connecticut minus 11. Alabama plus 4.5. Tennessee minus 3. Marquette minus 6.5. And the sixth and final play for Chris Massaro this week in the Sweet 16, Duke plus 4. Chris 13, 18 and 1, 13.5 points. And a professional sports bettor from San Diego here at the Circa all weekend. I'll be watching games with him out here in the book tomorrow afternoon, talking about Thursday afternoon. All right, let's also get to the picks for Kenny Thompson, the Las Vegas radio host and handicapper, who's, I believe Kenny is 12-19 and 1, 12.5 points. Illinois, Iowa State under, going opposite of Chris Massaro there. Alabama, North Carolina under, Clemson, Arizona under. And Kenny Thompson with three unders and then three favorites. Purdue minus 5, Tennessee minus 2.5, and Ken Thompson also on Houston minus 4. So get all the plays from all the contestants here in the final hour of the show tonight. I believe we've recapped them all at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wes, let's go ahead and recap your plays. You're with Kenny Thompson on Purdue. That's one of your six plays. He turned in his play in the first hour today when it was Purdue minus 5. You turned it in later at Circa after the number had moved to 5.5. But go ahead and talk about your six plays here.
Yeah, Illinois, Iowa State over 146. I think Illinois wins the game. And, you know, Aaron Moore mentioned in the last segment, correlate it with the total. So I went ahead and played the total there. San Diego State, UConn under 135. And look, I just don't know how San Diego State's going to score. We can't play team totals in this, or I would have played under 62.5. That's a number that is out there. I just don't know. You're counting on San Diego State to go bonkers from the three, and I just don't see that happening. Purdue minus 5.5, also the over 154.5. I think Gonzaga is going to be a much more dynamic offensive team than the one Purdue saw in Maui. And then Purdue is a more dynamic offensive team. I think Braden Smith, he's due for a big game here. He has not had one yet in the NCAA tournament. So I think you're going to see Purdue hit their fair share of threes as well as Gonzaga. Tennessee minus 3. Just the better defensive team. And Dalton Connect, I think it's his time to hit some shots. He did not hit any shots. He was 1 of 8 from the three against Texas in the second round. So Tennessee minus 3 and then Duke plus 4. I think if this is a game of spacing and shot making, which I think it's going to be, then I favor Duke. I think that they're better at that. Even though Houston has Jamal Shedd and he makes some of the toughest shots, you know, of any player in America. But I think Duke doesn't mind the half court game. Duke is vulnerable when you get a team like a Carolina, perhaps, you know, maybe an Alabama. Certainly Arizona did it to him in Cameron, where they get out and transition and whatnot. And that's not Houston's ball game.
Two things concern me. I'm also on Duke plus 4. I bet plus 4.5, but on 4 in this contest. I'm not sure Duke has a perimeter defender who's tough enough to really contain Jamal Shedd. And the other thing is a little bit of three-point shooting regression maybe, because Jared McCain hit 8 of the team's 14 threes mm-hmm. in that game against James Madison. So you're always going to have a concern or two with any play you make. Those would be my two concerns.
Yeah, and look, you know, Houston is as physical as anybody in the country, but does that physicality work against them, though? And I think, you know, we saw Houston with 4 guys foul out in the last game. We know that Duke sometimes can get a good whistle in the NCAA tournament. That certainly happened a time or 10. But anywho, I think that they could get it again. Houston, look, they get bailed out a little bit on Shedd being a great guard that controls the game and Cryer and Sharp shot making. But in terms of shot selection, this is not a team with great shot selection. And Duke actually has very good shot selection.
A&M shot 29 of 45 from the free throw line Sunday night in that game against Houston. And Jamal Shedd played 45 minutes. Not a deep Houston team at all. I am on Duke plus 4 in this contest, along with UConn minus 11. One of the few times you're ever going to hear me play a big favorite. North Carolina minus 4.5. Clemson plus 7.5. Gonzaga plus 5.5. Creighton, Tennessee under 143.5 in the Duke play. Wes, I was really kind of wavering. Do I play Tennessee or do I play the Creighton, Tennessee under? And I went ahead and went with the under because I do think Tennessee's defensive intensity and just the relentless defensive pressure that the Vols bring is really going to disrupt that creating offense.
I thought about using that as well. That was a big mover, by the way, early in the week. Now, that was a faraway store that I think posted a number that was a little bit off, and that got absolutely hammered. I thought I saw like a 148 out there. So yeah, I'd love that number, but even still at like 144, I would certainly lean under the total.
All right, that's it. You got all the plays for the Circuit College Hoops Challenge. It's week number 6, NCAA Tournament Week 2. And again, vsin.com/challenge if you want to follow the contest, all the plays in the standings. All the plays are going to be sent out overnight on the vsin Pro email if you are a subscriber. Also, thanks to all the contestants who appeared on the show tonight. David Dineen, the leader in the contest. Kenny Thompson, Chris Massaro, Jim Root, Greg Hoops Peterson, and the professor, Aaron Moore. How confident are you going into the Sweet 16 Thursday and Friday?
A little, you know, just kind of right in the middle. Hopefully I'm more confident on my golf picks. By the way, long shots, you can still get that up at vsin.com or wherever you get your podcast. Still some time to get your DFS lineups or play some of the futures. So Houston Open is up still at vsin.com. Indian Open already underway overseas.
All right, this was the Circuit College Hoops Challenge Hour, wrapping up vsin tonight. Stay tuned. Mitch and Paul coming up on Follow the Money, vsin, the Sports Betting Network.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.